Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. This is Michelle Cromer.
And this is Perla Maldonado.
And y'all have tuned into Where Am I Going? Where Perla and I ask ourselves some really big questions and we search for meaningful answers. How are you, Perla? I'm so hot.
It is hot.
Oh my gosh, it's hot. I'm telling you, every year I say this, but I think I'm just going to have to move to Alaska or Maine or the North Pole. I don't know. I cannot stand the heat.
We're supposed to get a cool down end of the week.
Ugh.
It'll probably get down to 92. Bring out the coats.
Well, oh my gosh, I tell you. Well, we have a big night tonight for us, and I think our guest is calling in, Perlita.
Yes.
And we have before we have Dr. Anthony, Michelle Anthony on. She has written this incredible book called Becoming a Spiritual Healthy Family, and it hit home with me because of my boys, and it's just a tremendously well written book. But just just a couple of things. How about Pluto?
The planet, isn't that? Have you seen the photograph?
That heart that's in the middle of it is just incredible.
Oh, I mean, the more we advance, the more planets we find. I think it's great.
It is so fascinating, and the planet 425b, our twin planet, somewhere.
You know what's scary about that?
No,
that there may be another you on another.
Oh, Perla, there's only one me and there's only one you. But it's interesting to think that perhaps there is some sort of life. It's going to be an interesting discovery time, it seems.
Yes, yes. And wasn't it around this month, how many years ago, that they first set foot on the moon?
Well,
it was a big anniversary.
Yeah, it's been 45?
What, 40?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a long time. A long time. Well, did you have a good week?
Yes, I did. It's just been very hot.
Well, I volunteered down at a homeless shelter for children, as you know, between the ages of 4 and 17. And we had a big ice cream party for them. Sam, my 13-year-old, came and helped, and that was terrific. And they painted the most incredible painting for me.
I saw that.
Oh, it's just vivid colors and a lot of emotion. And
it's a tree, isn't it?
It's a big tree, and it just almost looks like Picasso in a way, and Van Gogh with the colors kind of combined. And they have nothing, and yet they give me everything. And it's such a meaningful example for all of us. These children have been through more than you and I will be in this lifetime, I guarantee you. And here they are, so thoughtful and so giving.
Very nice.
Just amazing. Well, listeners, we're in for a treat this evening. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. Her name is Dr. Michelle Anthony. Well, that's a beautiful name, Michelle. Dr. Michelle Anthony is the Vice President of Learning Resources at David C. Cook and the author of Spiritual Planning, Dreaming of More for the Next Generation, also a Theology of Family Ministry, and The Big God Story. Anthony has graduate degrees in Christian education, theology, and leadership, and more than 25 years of church ministry experience as a children and family pastor. She has resources including David C. Cook's TRU curriculum. She leads the gathering events each year and dozens of TRU events each year, sharing David C. Cook's family ministry philosophy around the world. Anthony and her husband, Michael, have two children and currently live in cool Colorado Springs, where she loves a good book and a cup of coffee. We could be friends, right? Let's meet Michelle Anthony.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We're so delighted to have you, and we so enjoyed your book.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, very much so. And just so our listeners kind of get, just a little bit of background on you, what motivated you to write the book?
Well, as you said, I had written a book called Spiritual Parenting about 5 years ago. And I think that a lot of people really resonated with the message that was in there to parent our children in the way that, really the way that we see God parenting us as our spiritual parents, as our spiritual Heavenly Father. And yet it set out some ideals that are in Scripture and the things that we all know to be true, but I would get emails and letters and people would contact me and say, this is so great, this is what we're striving for. But what about in the meantime? What about now, in the midst of my dysfunction, or in the midst of things that aren't so perfectly put together, or they haven't arrived yet? How do we? What advice do you have for us right now? How do we deal with those dysfunctions right now while we're on journey?
Yeah, exactly. And listeners, you can call Dr. Anthony at 760-542-4307, 760-542-4307. And I am launching our chat room where most of you like to ask questions, so please feel free. So let's look at spiritually healthy family, something that's always true to my heart, and this terrific book that you've written. So what does that look like to you, a spiritually healthy family?
Yeah, I think going anytime we put spiritual in front of anything, so to say we're a spiritual family or a spiritually healthy family, I think all of a sudden it sets up this ideal in our minds that we feel like we can't achieve. And the reality is that the word spiritual does not mean perfect. So this is not a perfect family. To be spiritual or to be a spiritually healthy family means that we're pursuing the things of God. So we definitely are on a journey together. And it means that we wake up every day and we say, God, what is it that you have for me? What do you have for our family? And then we try to walk in obedience to that. When we fail, when we mess up, we confess it to him and to each other. And when we get it right, we give him the glory. We don't necessarily pat ourselves on the back. So it's just a healthy way of living with a spiritual perspective, but we abandon the ideal of perfectionism altogether.
Absolutely. One thing that I so appreciated in your book, Michelle, on page 18, you have, and I'm laughing because I think we all can identify parenting styles, but you have the six dysfunctional parenting styles, and I have a pet peeve, one of these, but I'll let you sort of introduce those to us. And of the six, which do you think is the most common? Could you go over those, please?
Yeah, you know, there's not just six dysfunctions, obviously, in parenting, but I just sort of wanted to isolate six that I find that are really common in our world today. And I wanted to normalize them because I think sometimes when we talk about dysfunction, we think about abuse or addiction or things that are of a really serious nature, and not that these are not serious, but I think sometimes we can condone them without thinking that they're dysfunctional. So I isolated six that I've seen in myself, I've seen in people around me, and that are pretty common, and they are the double-minded parents, the I can't say no parents, the micromanaging parents, the driver parents, the criticizing parents, and the absentee parents.
And which is the most common?
Well, you know, I feel like all of them can be on any given day, right? But I sense that in today's world, I see the double-minded parent quite a bit. And this is the parent who wants to live by God's laws. They love him. They have received Jesus. They love his word. They want to follow him. But the world looks pretty great too. And so we're conflicted because we want the things of the Lord, but we want the things of this world too. And it's kind of a crazy maker in our lives and in our home because we want two things at the same time.
Well, one of the things that I'm seeing in my world, I can't say no parent, which is certainly not my parenting style, but I see as an employer, I used to be a partner where Perla works at the ad agency, and I would have these college graduates come up and expect to have, you know, a corner office when they graduate because everybody got a sticker when they were growing up. And no one had the courage or the self-esteem to tell their children, no, you know, this is one of our core values in our family, and we tell the truth, and we value integrity and character. And you weren't great today, and you don't deserve, a trophy for the speech tournament. You know what I mean? And so I see a lot of that, and I see a lot of entitlement because of that. And I don't understand it because that's not my issue, but I that's what I see a lot of as someone that is hiring millennials. That's what I'm seeing.
Boy, yes, you have hit on another really popular one. I think the double-minded parent is something that's in all of us as we are Christians living in a world that is not our home. But as far as parents who are raising safe kids, years ago, studies came out that our children had low self-esteem. And so as a reaction to that, we overreacted and we started over overindulging them, so to speak. And it's as you say. So when no matter where you placed in the ranks of sports, everybody got a trophy, everybody gets a win, everybody gets a certificate, and we have set up an incredibly entitled generation. And we are going to have to deal with the ramifications of that in the generations to come. But it does come, and it does stem from this inability to put up a boundary and say, no, that's not appropriate, that's too much, you're not going to get that, or you didn't have a great day, or you didn't get an A. You're absolutely right.
Or you just flat didn't deserve that. And what we set these poor children up to do is fail. And so I think that's where a lot of addictions come in and codependency comes in, because they show up in adult world and they're like, wait a minute, I'm special. Like, you know, you're really not. You're really not that special. And, you know, and then it's just this, it must be such, you know, so alarming to these kids because they're not prepared for the real world.
Yeah, I would say every child is unique. Every person is unique because we're made in the image of God. But you're right, we're not special. We're in the way that we use the word special to mean entitled or I'm better than. We are not better than. We're unique, and I think finding out our uniqueness means that we have to say what we're not good at or that the things that we failed at. And parents need to wake up to that, because the world, if we don't say no to them, the world will. Their bosses will say no.
Absolutely.
Will say no.
Exactly.
All sorts of things. The cops, you know, anything, any kind of legislature, they're going to say no as well.
Exactly. Well, you have, you share some stories in the book, Becoming a Spiritually Healthy Family. And what is the common thread that you see in spiritually healthy families?
I think that the thread is that, you know, some of the things that you're even just bringing out and discussing, I think that you have to create an environment that is the template for life. So home should be the testing ground for that. So I should be preparing my children to go and be contributing people to society, to honor God, to work hard, to be have integrity, as you suggest. And so home should be the place where they get to practice all those things. And so a spiritually healthy home is a place that is mimicking how the world will be and then treating them and training them how to live as a Christian in that world, which is becoming more and more hostile. It's also a family who keeps short accounts. They're not holding bitterness against one another. They're keeping short accounts by saying what's truth, but they're saying in love and with giving lots of grace, because we all need that if we're going to live under one roof together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you have you use a picture of a relationship between a director and an actor to illustrate a relationship with God. Why did you choose that analogy? It was such a
I love that analogy.
I know.
Anyway.
I thought it was really
great.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I use the analogy of being spiritually healthy as sort of envisioning a director's chair in your home. So let's envision you put a physical director's chair at the front entrance of your home. As you first walk in the door, you see this director's chair. And as you look at that director's chair, a spiritually healthy family is going to ask the question, who's sitting in that chair today? You know, is mom sitting in the chair and she's calling all the shots for her spouse, you know, dad? Is she calling all the shots for the kids and she's directing how somebody should act, what they should say, what they should do, controlling every manageable piece of their life? Or is God sitting in that chair? Am I sitting in the chair of my life and in my family members' lives, or am I allowing God to sit there and he's calling the shots and I'm obeying and I'm listening to that director? You know, James Dean once said that acting isn't really acting, it's just following directions. And so I really believe that as we listen to the director of our lives and we listen to the shots that he's calling and we follow those, that is the road to spiritual health. When we choose to sit in there and say, no, I'm going to do the scene the way that I feel, I'm going to add some extra lines, or I'm going to delete some extra lines, that's when we start getting in trouble.
Right, right. Tell us about your kids. How old are they?
My children are 22 and 25 now. So we've raised them. They've moved out of the house. They're on their own. And And it is interesting to look back and to have those adult conversations with them now and to talk about the kinds of things that we did, the things that, hey, what worked, what really stuck, and, hey, where did we kind of mess things up? And they're honest, you know, because they're honest
yeah.
with us. And it is great to hear those kinds of things from them and to get that sort of feedback.
Well, it's in my case, because I have a 22-year-old, it's interesting and sometimes painful, but always good, because, you know, you can handle certainly handle the truth. But it's delightful to have adult children on the other side, because you've really done your best and they've turned out terrific. And as for me, I still have a 13-year-old that it takes a village, believe me.
Yeah.
You bring up
a good point of why it's so important for people, young parents who are raising children, to be in relationship with older parents who have raised their children, and to glean that wisdom and that insight from people who have been there and done that.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that is such a good piece of advice.
Absolutely. Now, how did you, Michelle, avoid the dysfunction in your own parenting style, you and your husband?
Well, you know, I wish I could say I avoided it altogether, but I didn't. You know, I think as an imperfect parent living in an imperfect world, raising imperfect children, we are all susceptible to that, and I certainly was as well. I think my endeavors were to be honest with myself at the end of the day when I would look in the mirror to say, hey, where did I get that right? Where did I listen to the director today? And where did I really just kind of try to go off script? And I tried to be honest with myself, and that was part of being functional. I mean, I think we get dysfunctional when we get into denial, or we try to justify what we've done, or we try to rename reality. And those were the things I certainly endeavored to do. I can't say that I didn't fall short of that, because I did. And there are pieces of each of those dysfunctional parenting styles that I found myself in at any given moment or season. And to get back on track took a lot of honesty between God and myself, and maybe a friend or a trusted person in my life to talk through those issues.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, for what I have found in all these years, you know, just showing up, you know, spending time, that's really important. Our world is so busy. We're all so exhausted. But this is, you know, there's a small window of opportunity you have. It's called childhood, and you never get it back with these children. So, you know, let's make that a priority, too. I mean, and I just love spending time with my kids. I don't know if they love spending time with me, but I absolutely love it. But what should a parent do if they find that they're in one of these six dysfunctional patterns?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is, you know, sometimes when you read a book like this, I've had people already, you know, emailing me or finding me on social media and say, I started with a highlighter to highlight, and I ended up highlighting the whole book. And, you know, sometimes when you're just faced with something and you go, oh, my goodness, this is me. And maybe had you read that book a year ago or 2 years ago, it wouldn't have hit you. But there's just this way of God bringing perfect timing and perfect, you know, scenarios to our life where we're more open to look at ourselves with an honest heart and with an honest mind. So I would say the very fact that somebody would say, like, wow, I found myself in a dysfunction, that is the biggest, and, you know, it's the first step, but it's the biggest step, that acknowledgement that I don't have it all together, I'm not perfect, and I'm in need of a savior who is. And let's deal with this. That's the first step. I think the second step is that most parents, when they find that they're in a dysfunctional stage, they have to grieve what was lost. So I have to grieve that maybe I damaged my children, or that I missed an opportunity, or that I didn't do something right and I can't go back and do that again. And I think it's just healthy to grieve that. And we have to pick a season. You know, what's the appropriate amount of time to grieve that, and then draw a line in the sand and say, that's in the past, and I'm going to move forward now, and I'm going to become a different person. I think after we've grieved that, we have to make amends with the people that we've hurt. Sometimes that's our children, sometimes that's our spouse or our own parents. And we ask forgiveness and we give forgiveness. And then I think the last step is that we just take those baby steps every single day to move forward, limps and all, to a brighter future with God by our side, Him giving us the strength to make better decisions to move forward
exactly.
and to get out of that dysfunction.
Exactly. And that's excellent, excellent advice. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Show up. Let's pray. Let's get, you know, God, as I call my spiritual support team, God at the head. And you talk about living on script. What do you mean by that, script?
Right. This is something I started a few years ago. This living on script idea was something that a friend of mine was in a play, and they received a script, and they had to memorize all their lines, and then they had to follow their director. And they couldn't just go off script because they felt any given moment like, wow, I just think this will make the character better. They had to stay on script. And so I sort of started envisioning God as my director, and I'm delivering a script to the end of my bed every single morning. And I had this opportunity to pick up that script and to read through it and then play it as written, listening to His cues to, you know, make it better or whatever He wanted from me. Or I could, you know, take out a pen and start deleting lines and or adding lines. Maybe I think I should have a more important part, a more prominent character. And there's a way that we can manipulate that script or we can play it on script. And that's sort of my goal as I wake up every morning, is to envision that a script has been delivered to me and I have that choice. I can play it on script or I can go off script.
Oh, that's a terrific example. And the rites of passage and milestones in children's lives are, you know, of course are important, but why do you think they're important? What rites of passage and milestones in a child's life are really important in your opinion?
Yeah, I wrote a chapter in the book about marking special milestones in children's lives. I feel like one of the dangers for our children today is this deficiency of identity. I don't think they know who they are. I mean, we have sexual identity. We have career identity. We have identity within family structures or our nationalities. We're all clinging to things, our religious identities. We are really in an age right now where children don't seem to have the kinds of identities that they used to. And you grew up in maybe rural America or places where you were known by your family or your church or your community. And so because of that, I think milestones that are celebrated within a family or a faith community give children a sense of I belong. I belong to something that's bigger than just my life and my decisions. And as the community celebrates, whether it's a baptism or it's a coming to faith, or I've decided to go on my first mission trip, or I've decided to earn money to do something for something in the community, a cause bigger than myself, coming of age, purity decisions, things like that. I think when the community comes around and formalizes them and celebrates them, those become markers that that child looks back on maybe when they're old and they're having identity crises.
Yeah, and you know, and also that provides accountability too. I mean, there's, you know, what you're describing is, you know, there's accountability in the culture, in the tribe, in the community. So I think that's really important too. Now, this is a really interesting thing. What role does a mission statement serve in a spiritually healthy family?
Yeah, there's another, yeah, this is another thing that I encourage families to do is to write this mission statement, because everybody will have a mission for your family, so to speak. Everybody will have an agenda for your students. Maybe it's your coach because they think your student or your child is a star athlete and they have an agenda. Some teacher will have an agenda for how your child uses their hours at home doing homework or studying or preparing for something. Everybody will have an agenda. The society has an agenda. The pornography industry, the world, you know, world cultures and religions. So we need to have just as stable as an agenda for our family, and I like to call it a mission statement. It's a declaration of who we are as a family, what, how do we identify ourselves, what things are important to us, and what will we be known for? And if you think about any organization or institution that you walk into and you see a mission statement hanging on the wall, you can judge that restaurant or that organization by their mission statement. It, you can say, well, they effectually did this or they failed. And the same thing serves for a family. If you write a mission statement to say this is who we are and it's out in the open, then everybody who interacts with you or any member of your family can now judge if you're living up to that or not. And you as a family can judge. And then you can make course correction along the way.
Great, great idea. I just love that. And we don't have a whole lot of time left, Dr. Anthony, but tell us how our listeners can find you, your social media platforms, and how can they find this terrific book.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can find the book anywhere you normally buy a book, on your online bookstores or even in some of your physical bookstores like Barnes & Noble. It's called Becoming a Spiritually Healthy Family, but you can find me simply at my name, which is michelleanthony.org.
And do you have a Twitter, Facebook, or anything you want to share?
I am on Twitter at True Inspiration. It's TRU Inspiration without the E for the curriculum line that you talked about earlier. So True Inspiration on Twitter. And then on Facebook, I have a page where I put all kinds of free stuff up there for the family. And my public page is called Follow Michelle. So if you go there, there's all kinds of freebies every month that I put up there as well.
Oh, terrific. Well, in the 1 minute that we have left, is there just one takeaway that you want to tell our listeners about the book, just the one solid message that you can give them about your terrific, terrific book?
I think the last message I would leave with people is hope. There are plenty of things that we can beat ourselves up about, from this day that we just lived to anything in our past. And I think that grace that we desire to be given to us when we fail, that we need to give that to ourselves. And we receive that from Jesus. We receive grace from him. We have to take it and own it, be kind to ourselves, forgive ourselves, and then give that same grace to others and move forward every day with that posture of giving grace to our children who are going to fail, to our family members who are going to fail, and then to ourselves. The only perfect person in this whole scenario is God, who we pursue, but he's the only perfect one. So imperfect people pursuing the perfect God.
Absolutely. Well,
great message.
We've been listening to Dr. Michelle Anthony. Her wonderful book is titled Becoming a Spiritually Healthy Family. You can get it on all your favorite social media platforms. Dr. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us. We so appreciate your wonderfully positive, hopeful message, and we wish you all the best of luck.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Well, I can't believe it's already time for our show to be over, Perla.
I know. I think I'm going to go to that other planet and see if I could find you there.
Well, listeners, thanks so much. We're so grateful that you've spent this time with us and you've downloaded this show. And as always, we say, think deeply, speak gently, love much, laugh a lot, work hard, give freely, and please, 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 be kind. Everybody have a great week, and we'll be back next week. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.